You know the vibes. Welcome back to another episode of the Hoop Genius Podcast, brought to you by NBA 2K24. It's myself, Mo Moonsy, alongside me once again, the GM extraordinaire, Mr. Scott Perry. How's it going, my brother?
Oh, my brother, it's going well, man. It's going well. I'm enjoying this heat down here in Florida right now. So,
speak for yourself, Scott. It's pouring rain. Pouring rain. In England, we get about 5 minutes of sunshine a day. It's horrendous. It's horrendous. But what we can do is talk more about the NBA, because yesterday we spoke about the Eastern Conference team. So today, let's talk about some of the teams in the West. We might not get to cover all of them today. So we'll talk about a few. Let's start by the runners-up of the Western Conference last year, the Minnesota Timberwolves, who had a fantastic season taking out the defending champions. They re-signed Luke Garza. They added PJ Dozier and Joe Ingles, but they did lose Karl Anderson, Jordan McLaughlin, Wendell Moore Jr., and Monte Morris. But they did make a couple nice moves in the draft. And this is what I love, is when you can't have the cap space to do a lot of free agency, they were aggressive in the draft to get those players in on rookie scale contracts. Spoke about the guys that they drafted on the episode where we covered the draft. And if you've not heard that, scroll down on the feed and you can find it. But what do you think of the moves? Because to me, it looks like Joe Ingles is just a straight-up replacement for Karl Anderson. You know, kind of a veteran player who's a little bit slow but can shoot the ball and gives you some sort of versatility. But what do you think about the moves? And are we expecting to see the Timberwolves back in the conference finals?
Well, I know the Timberwolves are expected to see themselves back in the conference finals. And I have every belief that they should be right there. Look, we watched an emerging superstar last year in Anthony Edwards, and he is still super young, and he's not going to do anything but getting better. Last year was a tremendous confidence builder, I'm sure, for him, but the entire team and organization, that they can compete at the highest level in the league. They knocked off the defending champions, the Denver Nuggets, which was huge for that team and that franchise. And then they got beat by a hot Dallas Mavericks team. So they're going to have a...
It looked like they just ran out of gas.
Yeah, they probably ran out of gas. But so there's a bittersweet feeling to last year for the team. They knocked off the defending champions. And if I didn't know any better, they probably looked at it like, oh, we're going to get to the finals now. And Dallas Mavericks was sitting there ready. No, hold on a minute. Not so fast. You got to come through us. And they just, I believe that Dallas was just the better team this past season in that series. So they know there's still work to be done. Anthony Edwards, and I loved it when they asked him a question here with the USA basketball getting ready for the Olympics, and saying, you know, who should be the number one option. And he's, look, I'm the number one option. And so that,
you love the confidence.
You love the confidence in that, and that being your leader. And like you said, they've kept this group together. So there's some confidence there amongst the group and with one another that they can make it to the conference finals. And they, I'm sure they believe they can get beyond. Kyle Anderson, as you mentioned, out. So you miss his versatility, especially defensively. Now, you in Joe Ingles, you're getting an older player with a lot of playoff experience who probably will provide you more perimeter shooting than what Kyle Anderson did. But you're taking a step back defensively with him. And to your initial point, too, talking about what else they added, the two draft picks, Terrence Shannon and Rob Dillingham. You know, when you're a good team now, it's all the more critical that you do an excellent job of drafting to the point, because financially you're in a situation where you can't do much. So how do you make your team better? It's through the draft. And when you have guys on rookie scale contracts and contract certainty over the next 4 years, that's where you're going to have to get your help from. Dillingham, even though he's a young player, he has a skill set to be able to come off the bench and score points, which will be valuable. And he can learn to do that around this bigger, longer lineup that he's going to be playing with the Timberwolves. And then Shannon is an older collegiate player. You know, he's four or five years in college. And so he's coming in physically ready to play and something to prove. And so you between those two guys, what one or both should be able to give them minutes, especially throughout the regular season, in terms of helping this team be more formidable and putting themselves right back in the position to be in the top two or three in the Western Conference.
Well, a team that needs to be in the top position in the Western Conference, but I don't see it happening, is the team who's spending a ludicrous amount of money, and that's the Phoenix Suns. I really don't know the delusion of Matt Ishbia, the new owner, to actually wholeheartedly believe this is a contending team. I believe the quote from him was something like, every team would want to swap positions with us if they could. But we saw...
It was about 26 of the 28
yeah,
teams.
Yeah, so we saw a first-round exit, and it was not a good first-round exit. You know, there's nothing to be proud about. But here's what they did in the offseason. They re-signed Bol Bol, Damian Lee, Josh Okogie, and Royce O'Neal. They added Monte Morris from the Timberwolves, and they added Mason Plumlee, which I think are two good depth pieces. But they did lose Drew Eubanks and Eric Gordon. Do you see any way in which the Suns actually are serious contenders in the Western Conference? Because I just can't see it happening.
Mo, on paper, of course, they put together, you got three all-star players and you got an all-time great in Kevin Durant, who is still a matchup nightmare most nights during the season.
Yep.
The issue is what we learned. You still don't have a true point guard on the court. As much as they tried to manufacture Bradley Beal and Devin Booker and have them mimic that position, and no disrespect to those guys, because I'm big fans of both of their games, but that's difficult to do, you know, when you really haven't played that for your entire career. And so then it gets you focused on doing other things that maybe didn't, you know, allow you to ascend to the status that they're at as players. I mean, these guys are scorers. And they, yeah, are they capable of, you know, making plays for others every now and then? Sure. But that can't be their primary focus for a 48-minute game, in my opinion. The Monte Morris signing, like you said, and it will provide depth, but it'll be interesting to see, and it's a good opportunity for him, how much they begin to rely on him to be able to play that position. Because if you remember, he did a nice job when he was the backup point guard in Denver, when Jamal Murray would go down, they would fill him in, and he more than, you know, adequately, you know, kept the ship afloat and played very well for that Denver Nuggets team that made him a valuable player for other teams around the league to want to go after. So I think that is the biggest signing, is obtaining him, what he does this year. And then you've got a new coach and Mike Budenholzer. And how do they adjust to Bud?
Mm-hmm.
Bud is a championship coach. It will be interesting to see how they play. It'll be interesting to see, you know, the level of accountability that he places on everybody on that roster, because they got to be better defensively too. Let's not mistake that. This team wasn't a team that I felt really wanted to grind out games. They wanted to outskill you, outfinesse you, and that can work fine for different stretches during the regular season. But again, I'm always looking ahead to the playoffs. That is not sustainable.
Well, we stay in playoff mode.
Yeah, but for a deep playoff run. So be interesting to see Bud's impact on this group and how the team begins to play under his stewardship this season.
And it's going to be really fascinating, because it's almost the opposite of what he had in Milwaukee. Because, you know, in Milwaukee, you've got, you know, the star of your team in Giannis, and now your star of your team is Kevin Durant, and they both operate from very differing areas on the court and do very different things. Yusuf Nurkic isn't going to provide you that kind of same level of shot blocking and three-point shooting that Brook Lopez would.
No.
And none of the guards on the roster are providing you with the defense that Drew Holiday would. So it's going to be very interesting to see what kind of schemes Mike Budenholzer runs, whether he tries to implement some of what worked in that championship run for the Bucks, or if he's going to come up with a completely new way of playing for this Phoenix roster. But I'm really not moved by them. They finished sixth last season in the West. A lot of the teams below them have got better. The Lakers finished seventh. So we should talk a little bit about the Lakers. This will not be about Bronny James and what he's doing or not doing in Summer League. They didn't add any notable pieces. I do like the kid they drafted, Connect.
Yes.
I think he's going to be very good. They re-signed Max Christie on a four-year deal, and they re-signed LeBron on a two-year deal. Torian Prince has now left the squad, but the kind of headline news is JJ Redick to be the coach of the Lakers. Who knows? Who knows?
Who knows?
For a first-time coaching gig, will it go like kind of Steve Nash or even Jason Kidd now, who used to be a player who went straight into coaching, is in the conference finals with Dallas. But you got to remember, in Milwaukee and in Brooklyn, he wasn't a good coach for those guys. I say that respectfully because what he did this season in Dallas was great. But that transition of becoming a first-time head coach without spending any time on a bench, without really working your way up in those ranks, is going to be very interesting to watch. What are your expectations? I know the Lakers expect to win a championship, but what are your expectations for them this season?
Mo, you've heard me say this often about how tough these jobs can be. You refer that to the GM's job. But this, that coaching seat, that especially the head coaching seat, extremely tough. So I don't care how much basketball someone may know. And again, I work with JJ Redick in Orlando, and I know he studies the game intently. And I know he has a lot of ideas about how he wants to play and what can be effective. But until you get over there and start coaching in these games and different stuff starts coming at you in real time, you don't know how quickly somebody's going to adjust or how they're going to do. And now he's going to have to do this as a first-time coach in arguably, you know, one of the most iconic, if not the most iconic franchise in the NBA.
I said maybe, Mo.
Exactly. But we know it's the Lakers and your Celtics. We know that.
If we're talking iconic, I think the Knicks are up there as well in terms of just...
The Knicks are up there because of the city and brand and all that. But I mean...
If we're talking winning, we're talking about Boston because you guys can have the in-season tournament banner this season in LA.
Yeah.
We have a real championship. We don't hang banners for the in-season tournament.
That was a surprise that they hung that banner. But the Lakers also have... the Celtics have... What now?
18.
18.
Yeah.
And the Lakers have, 16 or 17?
They have 12.
They only have 12?
But they stole some from Minneapolis. The Los Angeles Lakers have 12. It's simple.
It's simple to you. Okay.
It's very simple. We digress. If the Seattle Supersonics, have won championship, do Oklahoma City claim that as their championship?
They will, as a franchise.
It's very simple to me.
I get you, Mo. I get you. That's maybe another show, we can debate about that. But let's get back to JJ Redick and the Lakers.
The Lakers, yeah.
Not much added from a personnel standpoint. Like I said, the Torian Prince subtraction, that's a quietly big subtraction from that team.
Fans criticize Torian Prince a lot, and they criticize Darvin Ham for playing him. But when you look at that team, who have you got out there aside from LeBron and AD and maybe Austin Reeves? And if D'Angelo Russell's on a hot streak, then okay. But Hachimura was disappointing. Vanderbilt was injured. Like, who else are you looking at to actually play?
But they had to play him defensively because D'Angelo Russell and Austin Reeves as your point of attack defenders, that's not good enough against elite teams. There's no disrespect to them. They're both good basketball players, but defensively, they're challenged. And now you're talking about a LeBron James who's going on 40 years old, who doesn't have the same level of energy to be going both ends of the floor. Obviously, put up great numbers offensively this year, but he's not the same defender that he used to be when he was in his prime. So now you got Anthony Davis back there really by himself. And so you need a second defender on the floor. That's why Torian Prince was playing a lot. And they missed Jared Vanderbilt because he's another guy that could provide them some defensive ability. And they're not a great perimeter shooting team. That's what they're going to have to rely on a rookie like Dalton Connect, in my opinion, to get him up to speed fast. So hopefully he can contribute for this team this year, because he's a guy that's proven.
And I think he will. From what I've seen, I think he genuinely will have a
I agree. I mean, like, again, what you like about him is that he's 23 years old. So from a physical standpoint, he's there.
Yeah.
You know, if in the athletic standpoint, he's there.
And maturity now, as well. It's kind of an easy.
Yes, a maturity. Yes, yes. And his maturity, he's seen a lot in college. He, you know, had a lot of different coaching and teaching, a lot of different situations. So now he's just got to get up to speed with the NBA game, learn the different personnel groupings that he's going to play against, and different defenses that he's going to see in the league, and learn how to play with great players like LeBron James and Anthony Davis. But I don't see this team. It's interesting, because last year I had said that the Lakers could compete with anybody in the Western Conference, not named the Denver Nuggets.
Mm-hmm. They just got their card.
So, pardon me?
They just got their card. The Nuggets just have something. They just have something to figure out the Lakers, no matter what the Lakers throw at them. But you know, LeBron, another year on his body. Anthony Davis, he had a really good, healthy season, but that's not guaranteed for next season.
No
so
question.
With guys like that, you've got to have some real depth. And I think that's what they're lacking.
And see, they're lacking the depth. And so we're talking about the regular season to position yourself for the playoffs. See, I don't see the depth in the defensive ability that's going to allow this team to finish in the top four. Can they play up against the top teams in a series or on a given night because of the presence of LeBron and AD? Absolutely. They can do that. But we're talking about an 82-game regular season. They're not, in my opinion, deep enough or talented enough to overtake OKC, Minnesota, Dallas. You know, we haven't even talked about Memphis yet.
We're going to get to, I think we'll have to get to them in the next episode. Yeah. I think the Pelicans in the next episode, the Rockets in the next episode, and the Warriors, who may be on the brink of trading for Lauri Markkanen. Maybe he'll be traded by the time this episode comes out. Maybe not. Mm-hmm. We're recording this at the start of the week because we've got things going on. But there are some serious discussions happening now, I believe, between the Utah Jazz and the Golden State Warriors. And if they add Lauri Markkanen, they add a whole new dimension to their team, and things can kind of get scary over there. And totally the Kings have got better, in theory, on paper. The Kings have got better.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. So there's a real gauntlet over there in the West. And I talked about this the other day when we were talking about the Eastern Conference and the Milwaukee Bucks, the importance of them needing to add that youthful energy and athleticism to an older group.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing applies here for the Lakers. Mm-hmm. And even though Austin Reeves is a younger player, but he's not that at level of athlete, you know, and not that level of defender. Same with D'Angelo Russell. They're good players, man, but they're not going to be able to take people out of things defensively. Who are going to be those players for the Lakers? And I know JJ's going to come. My guess is he's going to come in, obviously, and figure out how they can really execute at a high level on the offensive end, because JJ was a terrific three-point shooter. So you can bet that he's going to be trying to figure out how, and he watches the numbers really big, how he can be really impactful and effective as imparting on his team to become that much better of a three-point shooting team, thinking that they're going to be able to win games from there. So it'll be an interesting dynamic to see. But I just don't, as I look at the Lakers right now, do I see them making it back to the playoffs? Yes. But do I see them as a top four seed as we sit here today? No, I would not pick them in the top four as we sit here today.
And what I do like is that they've added Scott Brooks and Nate McMillan to be assistant coaches. I think that would be a great resource for JJ Redick to have two guys who have been
head coaches.
You know, head coaches and good head coaches of that in this league.
Yes.
But I'm not worried about the Lakers getting maybe their 18th, maybe their 13th, however you want to call it, championship anytime soon. And that's being nice and including the one they won at Disney World.
Mm-hmm.
I'm playing nice.
Yeah,
today.
No, no. Look. First of all, when you start at this point, and you look ahead, I mean, it's, you know, aside from the Celtics and maybe one or two other teams, man, it's a tough.
It's a parity of the league.
Another team
that we got to talk about on the next episode maybe is the San Antonio Spurs. Because I know Wemby is watching the playoffs, wishing that he was there. And now you've only got to be the 10th seed to get to the play-in.
Oh, look, they can't hold the Wemby train back. Mm-mm. Wemby wants to win games. It's not about San Antonio about, oh, we're, you know, losing, you know, the draft next year is going to be better and we want to get another piece and all those kind of things. Wemby seems to me to be a very highly competitive player, and he wants to win now. And so, and look, San Antonio is an organization that has won for a few decades. So they're used to that. So I expect them to compete. Now, are they ready or a finished product? Of course not. They're not there yet. But I do expect them to be better this season. I don't expect them to be at the back of the pack of the Western Conference by any means. And I expect them to be challenging, like you mentioned, Mo, to at least be in the play-in this year.
Mm-hmm. I'm excited. That's the team I'm most excited to watch, is the San Antonio Spurs in another year of Wemby. But before that, we get to see him at the Olympics. And anyone who's in the UK and in London over the weekend gets to see Team USA pull up to the O2 Arena. So if you see me, say what's up. I'll be around. Looking forward to seeing some of you guys there. I know some of you guys have got tickets. We spoke about it in the Discord and reached out to me on social media. So it'll be good to catch up with you guys. And if you're new around here, make sure you subscribe on YouTube, Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast from. Scott and I will be back. And Mr. Armstrong will be back.
Yes.
What's crazy is, doing these last two episodes now where we've talked about these teams, I reckon that if I had some sort of AI voice changing software, I could have told everyone exactly what BJ would have said. And I could have just done it in his voice.
Give me one snapshot. What would he have said about one of the teams we talked about, Mo?
Oh, the same thing he says every time. Like, for example, the Cavaliers, who we talked about yesterday. Okay. They're smaller, the guard position. They've got to make their choice, and make Evan Mobley has to be the best player on that team. If you mention the Cavs when BJ's around, that's exactly what he's going to say. The Lakers, right? The Lakers. He's going to say, Mo. And then he'll pause for a while and he'll say, I'm going to say what I always say about LeBron. Just give me what you got.
Exactly.
I've done too many episodes with him now. And Scott, the longer you stay around here, the more.
Yeah, you're gonna get me on AI. I love to hear it too, because you know a lot of times when you talk, you don't realize sometimes you may be saying some similar themes from show to show. You know, mm-hmm. as you discuss basketball, but. Hey, we all have it in us, I'm sure.
But this is what I love, though. The principles of basketball are universal. You know what I mean? The principles are universal. Yes. It's just the players and the teams that change. So until next time, my good people, appreciate you. Have a great weekend. And most importantly, get buckets.
Get buckets.